Are you familiar with the Amazon KDP publishing guidelines? Were you aware that they kind of change policies whenever they darn well please? And this might not make you too happy, but some of these changes might be a welcome change to you, or it might affect you adversely. So if you want to learn a little bit more about that, make sure that you stay tuned to today's podcast.
Learn how to publish profitable books and build an unstoppable author brand with indie author and self-publishing coach, Dale L. Roberts. This is the Self-Publishing with Dale podcast.
So we are going to be talking a bit about Amazon KDP Publishing's guidelines. It sounds like I'm a little redundant when I say KDP Publishing. Believe it or not, people look that up. I don't get it myself. If you ever kind of figure that one out, please let me know. I'm always kind of at a loss. So I just try to go ahead and serve you guys what you're looking for typically. So the guidelines can kind of be ambiguous and sometimes a little frustrating, especially when they are going and changing these policies. We're going to dive deep into that today's podcast. So before we do get into this, I want to let you know that today's broadcast is brought to you in part by the DIY Publishing Course Unlimited. Get your hands on the most comprehensive coverage of self-publishing to date. With over 355 videos and downloadable resources, you have a vast library of self-publishing resources to keep you on track and headed in the right direction. Visit diypublishing.biz/podcast. Again, that's diypublishing.biz/podcast, and I'm going to hook you up with something. 10% off lifetime access when you use the coupon code podcast on the checkout. So again, diypublishing.biz/podcast, super simple to remember. Coupon code is podcast, and you get 10% off lifetime access. So here we are. We're jumping into the 19th episode here of the podcast, and I'm just super pumped about this. And right as I'm doing this, I'm doing a simulcast on YouTube and Twitch. It's a little unnerving for me. I'd have to try to balance things all at once, but I'm trying to, you know, definitely still deliver value to everybody here. So in any event, let's talk a little bit about Amazon KDP Publishing's guidelines. These policies can kind of change on a whim. And sometimes it seems like they won't let us know about these things until it's too stinking late. So that's the problem. They have a ton of guidelines that are sometimes ambiguous. Sometimes it's pretty easy to figure it out. The biggest issue I see right now are that the rules are scattered out. You got to kind of piecemeal them together. In fact, I'm going to tell you why it's just so stinking frustrating sometimes. And by the way, I did tag Amazon KDP over on Twitter. KDP, if you're watching me, come on, get your rules put together here. So in any event, they have three sets of areas that you can actually review. Actually, technically four. If you were to go to, for instance, start out with reading their Kindle publishing guidelines. Believe it or not, there is no direct in their guidelines. It's Amazon Kindle publishing guidelines. I'd actually put this inside one of the resources over in the units for the Self-Publishing Books Facebook group, but I'm going to go ahead and just give you a simple short link that you can use to get to the Kindle publishing guidelines. That's dalelinks.com/Kindle. Again, that's dalelinks.com/Kindle. I'll drop all these links inside the podcast notes for later on, so that way you can easily click and see them. The next one is going to be the KDP content guidelines. I know, as if you would think it would all be in one thing. No, it's not, actually. So the KDP content guidelines, you can find that at dalelinks.com/content. And then last but not least are the KDP terms and conditions. This one's a little bit more frustrating because it's like, again, we can just put all these things in one spot. Come on, Amazon. But in any event, you can get those terms and conditions if you go to dalelinks.com/terms. And you'll get all some of this information. So some of this might be a rehash for some of you if you've been following me long enough, but we're just going to go ahead and hit some of these things. And I did a little bit of research ahead of this podcast here, and I wanted to kind of cover one of these main ones here, and that is policy number one, KDP Select. By the way, this is not put in any order of importance. It's just kind of, you know, putting some of these things in here. But I'm going to save the best for last, because this last one, it's going to get you probably thinking about going and looking into your books immediately. So the KDP Select system, as some of you are aware, you can take your ebook and you can enroll in KDP Select that it can be allowed to be checked out through the Kindle Unlimited library and the Kindle Owners Lending library. You get paid per page flipped. Well, there was a gentleman actually that released an article this past month on his website. His name's Derek Haynes. And this was on July 6th of 2019 on justpublishingadvice.com. And in it, he kind of shared some of his frustration of the just sudden changes. And there was no email that was sent out to us. There was no notification. There was no way that they told us anything. They just went in to these guidelines, some of the ones that I was telling you about, and they just went ahead and just changed the verbiage. So now we're kind of left at their mercy. And so at any rate, what Derek, and I'm going to kind of summarize this here, what Derek had shared was his frustration was he was able to do the KDP Select program. And then when he was considering going wide, what he would do is, say, towards the end of his term of exclusivity with KDP Select, he would put his books on pre-order over on Smashwords, because technically it was still exclusive. No one could access this type of content. And it really would kind of build some buzz, so that way when it actually released and did a pre-order, it would do really, really good. You know, and man, I could see why he was so frustrated, because before in their guidelines, they actually had, it was like, it cannot be available for free or for purchase in digital format anywhere else. Now they changed the verbiage to, if the digital version of your book appears to be available for sale or for free elsewhere, such as on a website or a blog or a third party's website, this is not eligible for KDP Select. So essentially they're saying, like, you have to be 100% committed in KDP Select. There's no pre-orders on another site. They want you from day one all the way through day 90, 100% all in on KDP Select. And they even went as far as to threaten him, hey, if this happens again, we will remove your ability to use KDP Select for, I can't remember, it was like a year's time. But nonetheless, there was a little bit of a threat there. I've even heard some people had their accounts suspended. And now, unfortunately, this is just kind of one of those instances of, you know, I don't have any sources to cite on that one, but at least can point you over to the justpublishingadvice.com. Great article. It's a short, sweet. Derek really shares some of his frustrations on that. Any rate, so policy number two. This one's actually came out like right about last year, I would say around springtime in 2018. It was the bonus books. The policy, actually, I think they were pretty forward about it. I might be fudging this up just a little bit, but they actually sent out an email, maybe. I could be off on this one. Correct me if I'm wrong. But nonetheless, what was happening is there were some authors that were taking, like, say, a short story, and then they would put in a few extra, like, bonus books. Now, to the reader, the reader's probably loving this, because it's like, oh, I just bought a short story and I got 50 other short stories. Fantastic. And to the author, that makes sense, because it's like, well, I'm over-delivering. But some of the people were gaming the system, because what they were doing was they were throwing in all these bonus books. That way they could get a ton of page reads. So rather than, say, having like a 10-page short story and they just get 10 pages flipped through and they're done with it, well, they got all these extra bonus books. Naturally, the reader's going to continue to read through it. It's like, oh, well, I'm going to go ahead and read this. I got 50 extra books. Why not? Well, they actually changed the policy to where no more than 10% of your ebook can be of bonus content. So you can't go beyond 10%. There was a lot of these authors that were scrambling last minute because, you know, honestly, they could either leave it up and, you know, get account suspension, if not termination, or they would turn it into, say, compilations, bundles, things like that. And some of them did that, and others just kind of just delisted their stuff and moved on with, you know, with their stuff. But, you know, the ones that, you know, probably caused this policy change were the ones that were just gaming the system. They were purposely trying to just stuff their books. So if you happen to have any kind of bonus content in your book, might I recommend that you double check, make sure it's no more than 10% of your actual total book. Because if it's anything more than that, chances are very likely they're going to audit your account at some point or another and probably flag you for some. All right, policy number three. This one's an interesting one. This one actually rolled out right about the same time that the policy for bonus books came out, and it's actually tags. Now, not to be confused with HTML tags. HTML tags are totally okay, and there are certain ones that are acceptable over on the KDP platform. They're all right with HTML tags. These type of tags are keyword tags, kind of like what we use over on, say, YouTube. We get tags, we can put keywords in there. It's supposed to make our stuff more discoverable. Well, in any event, back in the day, the early Kindle gold rush days, if you will, the experts, the coaches, the quote-unquote gurus were just dispensing advice that, well, if you can't fit in the keywords within the context of your title, subtitle, series name, or book description, you would just essentially just take all those unused keywords and put them into a category that you would say tags, colon, and then insert. All of these things. And it looks like a freaking keyword machine threw up on your book description page. I tried to search this one down, this particular policy, and again, it comes down to piecemealing things together. I can't find it anymore, but I do recall them saying right about the time that bonus books were being pulled and this whole policy had rolled out, tags came out as well. So don't try to game the system and just throw in random keywords within your book description without some type of context. I want you to put yourself into the customer's shoes. Can you imagine how like confused they are when they see like a gigantic paragraph, like a gigantic block paragraph of all these keywords? They're gonna be like, what is this? To insiders, it makes sense. To people that are just regular customers, it confuses them. The only thing that you need to have at the end of your book description should be a call to action. Buy it now. Get it now. Order your copy. Things like that. Not a bunch of keywords. All right, so policy number four. This one is another one. And actually, I've discussed this in one of my YouTube videos before. It is machine-generated content. Now, you're probably kind of going, machine-generated content? What? Like AI? Yes, but not really, okay? Machine-generated content. There were some people that were actually taking their English books and then they'd go into like a translation software of some sort and just get it translated. Now, we can all agree that the software is not the best. Maybe another 10 years down the road, maybe it will be. But right now, it's not translating the best. And what ends up happening is whatever language it's being translated into ends up just being just a very unreadable. You know, it becomes very stilted and people become very angry and then they go and they look for refunds. So just be careful about that. You don't want to be going using machine generated. Google Translate doesn't work. I don't care what company says that their translation software is, you know, the best in the world. Do not rely on machine generated content. And furthermore, Amazon says if they find out, they'll pretty much pull that book. And then actually, I think this one actually resulted in either account suspension or termination. I know of at least one person who did this. They had like 22 books and then they translated it into like six or seven different languages on each one of the books. And they were making significant income until someone caught them. And they felt like putting in a disclaimer was just enough. Like, oh, this was generated by such and such translation software. So there might be a little bit of translation issues. No, Amazon doesn't take that for an excuse. They don't want to have garbage being sold on the marketplace. And there's this nifty little button called report abuse that is on every single product page on Amazon. So I wouldn't play with fire. Next one here, policy number five, external links. Now, oh gosh, this is one of those ones. Gotta take a deep breath. External links. Now this means to link out of your ebook. Send people out to another thing beyond the Kindle ebook. Now, I'm just going to kind of paraphrase things, and this is why I gave links to you, so that way you can kind of do your own due diligence and even reach out to KDP support if you find this a bit ambiguous, because it is slightly ambiguous. What they want is if you put external hyperlinks, it's okay for that, as long as you're not doing anything that is going outside the context of your book and it's not required in order to fulfill the ebook obligations. So this means like the rest of your content shouldn't lie out over on a website. all of the content should be fulfilled within the ebooks. And the next thing is any kind of outbound links, it can't be things to, like, say, pornography. It can't be over to, just bad websites in general. You're just going to have to go through, read this. They're okay, again, as long as it's within context. And there actually is a sixth point that I'm going to kind of rope together on this one here with the policy of external links. Because there's some of you that are probably freaking out right now going, oh, but what about my email newsletter? Now, I asked numerous occasions from numerous Amazon reps. And when I say numerous, it was easily three, maybe four times over the past few years to where I say, is it okay? Is it okay? So if you've got an email newsletter of some sort, you're probably saying, you know, hey, subscribe to my email newsletter and yada, yada, yakety schmackety. You send them on over through your external link and they subscribe to your email newsletter. That is okay, so long as you're not violating this sixth policy that I'm going to cover here just in just a few minutes. But, you know, don't freak out. If for some reason you're going, oh man, I'm kind of scared, just reach out to KDP support. Say, I hear something about external links. Is this okay? Is it not okay? We're going to need to all work together as indie authors and pay attention to these guidelines and let each other know when we see some type of small change. Maybe someone posts an article. I would recommend that if you ever do read something online, like an article of some sort, always question it. Always question. I found a few articles while I was putting together today's podcast where there were some of them where they were saying you can no longer ask for reviews. Yeah, it's okay to ask for reviews so long as there's not some type of an exchange, which that's another policy, by the way. And there was like, yeah, can't ask for reviews. No, that's not true. They're okay with you asking it. It's just you can't be coercing them or creating some type of a bias. Like, did you enjoy my book? Make sure you leave a nice review. They don't want to hear that. It's going to be something very simple for your reviews. It's going to be something like, you know, now that you've read this book, it'd really make my day if you drop an honest review of it over at this review link. So there's that on the links. Well, hey folks, here we go. External links. Actually, I did have a couple notes here on this one. This one, I completely forgot I had that. Links to previous or subsequent books in your series, that's okay. Links to multimedia content directly related to the content of the title, that's okay. Links to additional ancillary materials, checklists, assessments, blah, 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 that's okay. Links to topical websites, okay, such as, you know, topical like whitehouse.gov. Social media related to the book or author, totally okay. Some examples of prohibited links include links to pornography, links to commercial ebook store sites other than Amazon, links to web forms that request customer information, links to illegal, harmful, infringing, or offensive content, and links that are malicious in intent. So this is where, like, you know, you see that it says asking for email, physical address, or similar. I'd asked about, you know, this specific newsletter, and at each time they came back and it was okay. So that's where it kind of gets the ambiguity. So I would say each one of you that are listening to this, do your own due diligence, reach out to the KDP team, make sure it's okay, and keep that communication just in case, you know, when the horse manure hits the fan, you want to make sure that you have some type of a fallback. All right, so I just want to kind of give a really quick, you know, plug here. If you're enjoying the podcast, join us every Saturday at 12 p.m. Eastern Daytime. That's Universal Time Coordinated -4 for upcoming podcast recordings and a behind-the-scenes look at the production process. That's at twitch.tv/self-publish. Also, follow Self-Publish on Twitch, or you can subscribe for free with your Amazon Prime membership. Now you're probably saying, subscribe, follow, I don't understand, Dale. If you follow me on YouTube, for instance, you hit a subscribe and you get notifications about my videos. Well, over on Twitch, you actually get to follow. Follow is kind of like subscribe is on YouTube. Subscribe is kind of like a channel membership of sorts over on Twitch, and it greatly helps support this channel. It's not required. It's greatly appreciated. So with that being said, policy number 6, the final issue that I see here. And now, mind you, there's tons more, folks. Again, just do a little bit of, you know, research and you'll find some other things. Policy number 6, it's easy for me to say, is promises of gifts or rewards. Now, I am guilty of this. I'm guilty. How many of you are guilty of this? where you say, get your free book or get your special gift for purchasing today's book. That's a no-no. They don't want you doing that. This is something that really got out of hand, and I think the name of the author was Chase Carter. Might be a little bit off on that one, but he was a romance author that essentially was bribing his followers with chances to win Tiffany's jewelry. Yeah, that's right. He was putting out a bunch of money on jewelry in order to coax them for reviews. So if you're trying to build your email newsletter, might I recommend that you go for the ask? You know, just keep it simple here, folks. You don't need to go next level when you're asking for people to sign up to your email newsletter. It could be just something as simple as, you know, subscribe to get all the greatest, you know, latest notifications about upcoming publications. And when you do, you'll get a complimentary access to my lead magnet. Well, you obviously won't be called a lead magnet, whatever your reader magnet might be, whatever your special offer is. And you can even maybe even keep it even as simple as, would you like to subscribe to my email newsletter? Visit this link. And then you just send them on over towards that way. The promise of gifts or rewards is just not a good idea. So just avoid that altogether. So I've given you six policies. What do we do with this? What do we do? Amazon KDP is a lucrative opportunity. And it obviously has the widest reach of all of the publishers today. Are we just left to, you know, their devices? Are we just to believe that this is it? We just gonna have to suck it up? No, I don't think so. Amazon's wonderful. Don't get me wrong. I make a fair amount of my income through them. But there's still other ways that you can monetize your author brand, and that's going wider. Going out to places like Smashwords, Drafted Digital, Publish Drive, Google Play Books, Apple Books, Barnes & Noble Press. There's so many ways. And then think about other ways that you can monetize your author platform. You know, merchandise, video, sponsorships, brand deals, affiliate marketing. It goes on and on and on. And why am I mentioning all these things? Is it safeguards you in instances that a policy change occurs and you don't know about it, and then you get suspended or terminated? Don't put all your eggs in the Amazon basket. And I'm saying this even as I probably know that an Amazon rep is probably watching, and I'm sure they'll agree with me. Never put all your eggs in one basket. And some of you newbie authors out there are going, but you told me just to stick to Amazon KDP. Take it slow. As long as you're doing right by you and your brand, you should be safe. I can't promise anything. And anytime that you have questions, I know it's always kind of natural that you go find one of my latest videos, or you hit me up over on Facebook, or you drop me an email and you ask me a question. The best resource to contact when it comes to questions with Amazon KDP is Amazon KDP. That's where you need to be asking the questions. I don't mind the questions, please don't get me wrong, but you're probably gonna get a more accurate answer whenever there's something that's a bit ambiguous. So, folks, this has been an awesome little podcast. I wanna kind of remind you, if you're listening to this on various platforms, you can also check me out over on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to Self-Publishing with Dale on Apple Podcasts, and do me a huge favor. I need some reviews. Leave me a review if you could. It would make a big, big world of a difference, and I would give you a virtual banana sticker for it. In the meantime, in between time, this has been Self-Publishing with Dale, and I will see you next Monday.
You've been listening to the Self-Publishing with Dale podcast. Visit us at selfpublishingwithdale.com for more information on how you can level up your publishing business. Also, get a rock-solid action plan for your next book launch when you sign up for our email newsletter at selfpublishingwithdale.com/checklist. If you enjoyed the show, please consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.